Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about things to consider before allowing your child on social media. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I offer free parent education every week, online courses, and coaching. And if that wasn't enough, I bring experts in of their fields onto the Impactful Parent stage to teach you even more. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Dali Rivera, and Dali teaches parents how to navigate bullying and gives bullying awareness to the masses. She helps parents who are concerned about their child's safety and has a program called Diversity and Anti-Bullying Academy. So thank you for being here today, Dali.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. And I love your intro, by the way. It's so vivacious. I love it.
I love this topic because so many parents have trouble with it. And as we get into the tween years, children want to get onto social media. It's just part of the growing up process. So what should parents know before allowing their kids to get on social media?
Oh, this is such a good question. I wish more parents would ask it. First of all, I think that parents need to consider, are your kids mature enough to handle social media? Because there are adults who cannot handle it. And there's so much to it. There's, you know, inappropriate images and videos, you know, just overall content. There's cyberbullying. There is exploitation of children. There is child grooming. There's so much. And you need to ask yourself, what is the number one purpose for your child going onto social media? Is there a need? Or can you delay it as much as possible? Because I know that there's a lot of pressures that kids see their friends on social media. They're on Snapchat or Twitch or wherever. And they're like, but my friends have it. But that's how they're communicating, right? So ask why. Why do you want your child on there? What benefits will there be? And are they mature enough, not just to handle the content, but are they mature enough to follow the rules, whatever the rules you set for them, right? So if you limit screen time, or if you tell them, hey, report something if it happens, you know, will you implement monitoring tools, or are you just going to adjust the settings? There's so much that you need to know before you allow them on there. So that's just like a little bit to get started with.
I love that, because so often the mistake that parents make is their child wants or needs a phone for whatever reason that might be. And they go out and get the phone, and then the social media comes into play, but it was never a forethought. It is an afterthought after the phone is already purchased and the child can now download apps. And it's something that we need to think about before we purchase a phone. And I'm gonna pause for a second and tell the audience, I'm a big advocate of Gab Wireless, and I will leave a link down below. This is a safe phone that has no apps that you can download. It does not have social media on it, and tends to be the best first phone for children, because you want to see if they can go through the responsibility of having a phone before introducing the social media piece. So I'll make sure I leave links down in there so that parents who are watching this, who are considering the first phone thing, they can get that resource. But let's get past the first phone. Now they're ready for a smartphone. And with that comes the social media stuff. I know that some social media apps have personal information that is given in the apps. Snapchat not only does name, but it also does location. Yeah. Of where your child is. This all seems dangerous. I don't know if parents realize what's happening there. I'd like to ask you if you have any recommendations for how do you block certain activity? How do you keep your child safe in those kind of scenarios if you're going to allow them to have the social media thing?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of parents think if you just tell kids not to go here or there, that they'll be okay. But, you know, kids have a lot and you forget things. So first and foremost, if you're going to take that extra step and give them a smart device, then implement monitoring tools. And what they do is, and they all vary, by the way, they all vary in what features they have as far as, you know, like blocking, reporting things to you, or even transcribing, like, you know, content on their audio messages or whatever, but also pricing. So the first thing you want to do is, okay, have that conversation with your child and tell them, like, look, we're going to start you off maybe with one social media account instead of like four or five. Because sometimes kids, they just want to dive right in because they're so excited.
Oh, yes, so, they do.
Yeah. And they'll plea and be like, but my friends, or, oh, my teacher, you know, my teacher said, let's download this app and, you know, do whatever on there. So verify that. Is it really necessary? Because having too much responsibility on a smart device can be very overwhelming for a child, and it can actually give them anxiety. So it's important to decide what apps are they going to be used, and how do they serve the child? How long are you going to let them keep that app open? Or how long are you going to keep the phone open? Because that's two different options, right? The app limitations or the entire phone, or both. Some people do both depending on the child. So that's one of the things you can do. And I just want to remind people that just because you tell a child, well, you have a monitoring app, that you're good. You got to talk to them about PII, the personal identifiable information. Kids are kind of oblivious because they're in their own world when they're taking photos or video. So one thing that I see is, especially just kids having fun, they'll record something and then there's people in the background talking, and sometimes they're talking about private stuff and they're not realizing that. So they need to be conscious. What's in the background? Who's in the background? Because you also need to ask permission to post something with other people in the background, especially children, for privacy and protection purposes. Same thing with photos. A lot of children, they will post, like, because they're really happy, maybe like a photo of their first driver's permit, and it has so much information on their address, you know, like birth date, things like that. Or sometimes they'll blurb out certain things. Sometimes they'll share a password. So all of those things, passwords, they should never be shared. Every parent should have every single login and password to everything. I mean, everything. Google, you know, anything on Gmail, their school accounts, the darn code to get into the phone. Yeah, you would be so surprised how many parents I have spoken to when they tell me my child is getting cyberbullied. I asked them, have you gone on the phone and seen what's going on? No, I don't have the code. But you're the one paying the bill. You're the one who gave it to your child. So you should always have access to all devices. Some parents say, well, I don't want to invade their privacy. Well, guess what? They're children and you need to protect them. So if you have to invade that privacy, then you have to invade the privacy, because do you want to just keep that privacy and not know what's going on? Or do you want to protect your kids? They'll be okay. They'll forgive you if you go in there and read their messages. So make sure that you're talking to them about not disclosing information like phone numbers, sometimes even full names. It's depending on some people, because their parents who... they have like a court order that the child cannot be seen by the partner or ex-partner or whatever, or disclose the address. Some people are, you know, in protective modes where they're hiding from somebody who might harm them. So they have to be very, very careful. And the same thing goes about sharing information about their friends, because some of their friends might be in certain circumstances where it won't be good if somebody finds them, you know, like, when it comes to abuse cases and things like that. So one of the things that I'm seeing, because kids are giving out so much information, is that reports are coming out that children's identity is being stolen because they are giving out all that information. And one of those ways is, especially people who are very, very patient and they'll sift through people's accounts to collect information, like people who want to exploit children. They'll go through the feed and they'll see like, oh, they posted that their birthday was today and they turned 14. Okay, here's the birthday. Oh, this is their name. And then this is their nickname. Oh, here's the last name. Or they might be a picture with the house in the background with the house number. So now you have the house number. Then later in a video, they might see the street names, you know, so now you have the street and house number. And sometimes somewhere else, they might have done that geo tagging location. So then they have the city and state. I mean, it's so easy and it's so dangerous. So that's why I tell parents, just talk to the kids, give them these examples. Because right now, around the age of 16, when children get their first co-signed credit card or some type of loan, that's when they find out that their identity has been stolen. And parents are not checking because they're minors. Nobody's going to check their credit because you don't think anybody's using it, right? But of course, the other danger is people who actually are stalking your child because they have some type of interest. There's so much more we can go into. Like, try not to post too many photos because those are being stolen. They're being used for awful things, sold in the black market and blah, blah, blah. But the more you can delay your child from being online until they're mature enough and know how to take security measures, the better.
And I think the important message with this is to talk to your child before you get the social media and really clearly, so clearly lay out all those expectations. In order to get a phone, I will have to have passwords to all of your accounts. In order to get a phone, I'm going to require you that I will be able to go in there when time to time if I need to. Will I often? I don't want to go into your stuff often. I want to give you your privacy, but for security reasons, if you want a phone, I need this information. And lay it out up front so it's not a surprise, because backtracking parents is so much harder, and it's harder for the child too, who is like, wait a second, now you're changing the rules on me. They don't like that. I love that. Now, let's say, Dolly, that my child is on social media and I hear it all the time. They're getting bullied. And at that point, it's really important that you report the bullying to the social media companies. But do they even do anything? What should parents even expect?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. I think most people know nothing happens. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, all of those app owners, they're so huge that they don't have the capacity. I mean, they could afford it, I'm pretty sure, but they just don't have the capacity of the people to keep track of everything and to look into everything. And from what I have seen, when you report something, it might take months for them to just give you a one sentence answer. Like, we found no reason that this account should be blocked, or we found that, you know, this person had violated a rule, so they're being removed. That's it. Meanwhile, you're just waiting and waiting and wondering, are they going to attack me again? Are they going to unblock them and then they're going to come back and retaliate, you know, against me? But that's why it's important to make sure that as soon as it happens, take a screenshot of it. If it's a video, do that screen recording, because you want to keep track. Because when it comes to bullying or any type of bullying, the definition includes, you know, any unwanted or aggressive actions or words against you. And it has the potential of being recurring, or it already is recurring. It is harmful, or it includes, and in social media sites, they will state it, you know, hate speech, a lot of thing. So most people don't read that, but you really should. You should go in there and look at their policy just to identify, you know, what type of things they consider bullying or cyberbullying. And that includes exploitation. You know, sometimes kids they are caught in, I don't know, maybe something that they shouldn't be. And then somebody takes a photo or a video and then they try to blackmail the child or, you know, things like that. So as soon as that happens, take a screenshot before you report them or before you block them, because sometimes these social media sites, what they do is as soon as you report them or block them, the content goes away and then you have no evidence. The other reason you want to do that is because if it has to take the legal route where you have to file a police report and then maybe get an attorney to help you, you need to have that evidence, because not all police departments throughout the United States have a cyberbullying task force. Some do, but it all depends on funding. I'll give you an example. For one case that I was helping with, the mother was reporting her child, somebody had stolen her picture, and they ended up putting it on a teen porn website. And so her friends were like, oh my gosh, she's, you know, into that and horrible. And the police officer, when they arrived, they said, okay, who leaked these pictures and are they really yours? And she said, you know, they're not mine. And it was, I believe it was one of my friends. And he said, oh, okay, so this was another friend. Well, we needed to know how serious this is, because if it's just another friend, we really need to just assess how high a priority is your case, because there are other kids whose pictures have been stolen by predators. And since yours is a friend, I don't think that they're going to allocate any funds towards your case. And it was really sad to hear that, because the reality is, that's how they conduct their cases. They prioritize depending on the level and depending on how likely is it that that cyber bully is going to attack other kids. So, but the thing here is, because I also don't want you to lose hope. I just want you to know that that's the reality of it. The reality is that if you push hard enough and say, hey, your child has constitutional rights to file a report, you know, you need to push harder. And if the police officer is not paying attention, go up higher, go to the chief of police or the mayor or somebody else. And another thing that you can see a lot in these cases is that if you mention, well, the person who did it was another child, then the police will redirect you to the school. And then the parents go to the school. And when the parents get to the school says, you need to take that up with the police because that happened online and it wasn't on our website or it wasn't during campus hours or anything like that. So they're pointing the finger at one another and it makes it very frustrating for parents. And, you know, the reason this is happening is because the laws have not caught up with how bullying of all types is happening. So this is when I tell parents, you need to use the power of your voice and you have to get politically active by reaching out to your police, a sheriff or chief of police, the mayor, you know, so that it starts at the local level. Talk to the superintendent of your schools and say, hey, what are we going to do about this? Because my child's being attacked and I'm pretty sure other kids are being attacked too. And we can continue on a longer discussion about this, but that's just to give you an idea of how serious it can get and how hard it can be to protect your child legally.
So I'm just going to reiterate that before you're allowing your child on social media, to have your child be aware that things can escalate very quickly. They're going to think, oh, not me, but you're going to tell them anyway, parents. It's also really important to explain to your child that they don't want to delete or block or that they probably want to take screenshots of anything that they find uncomfortable, which is going to be the opposite of what most teenagers will do, or tweens too, because their instinctive thing will be to hide. Let's hide it or let's push it away so that it doesn't happen. That's blocking. And we don't want our kids to do that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's what we want to do, parents. We want to really educate our kids about saving what's there, not blocking until they have permission to block. That way you know that it's a good scenario or not. Just giving them some awareness of when that's going to be okay and when it's not going to be okay.
And usually that's going to be okay until after you've screenshotted everything and screen recorded everything.
Perfect. That's great. That's great to know. And now my last question for you is, are there any tools that parents can use to keep their child safe online?
Yes, there are so many tools out there. For example, the phone you just mentioned, don't start with a smartphone with like the fancy phone that gives access to everything, because they really have to train themselves to be responsible and know how to use it. And use monitoring tools. They're very powerful. All of them are different, and you can start with your own service provider. You can call up whoever your service provider is and say, hey, what monitoring tools do you have for children's phones? Usually they offer family plans. That way all family members are kind of like on the same page, and they have access to see everybody's, you know, stuff, whatever's going on. And it also can provide you a full report every week or every month, however you want, whatever the features are. And it can start as cheap as $4.99 a month that is added to your bill.
I love those, by the way. They're so amazing. If you don't have one for your child, they are great. Me personally, I use an app called Keystudo, but what I like about it is that I can put time limits on, not only for duration of time, for how much they can be on social media or certain apps. I can block certain apps. I could say, don't go onto YouTube, but it's okay to go onto Instagram. I can get, like you said, reports putting out for me for how long they've been on certain things. I can also block out times in the day when they can't be on. So I know that that's homework time, or after bedtime, they can't run and sneak onto their device and get on to the internet. It's actually really quite amazing. If you do your research, parents, of what kind of app can really help you as a family. And you just got to kind of figure out which one's going to be best for you.
Yeah. And I actually want to name a few that have been highly recommended by other parents, and also some that I have used myself.
Yeah.
Knit Nanny. And that one can also allow you to even control the like laptops and tablets. So always ask about that too. Is it just for smartphones, or is it for other devices? Another one is Bark, B-A-R-K, which is great for younger kids. There's also Kids Locks. That one's great. And if you just Google like best monitoring tools for kids, for children, you're going to get a lot of reviews and a lot of names. And really, it's a matter of how much control do you want, how many features you want, and what's going to be best for you. Because I've tried a few, and my kids didn't like some of them because it will like scramble their apps every time they turn the phone back on. And then some work just fine. Some give you super detailed information, like transcribe all of their text messages and stuff, which can be kind of creepy. but some parents want that because they're very concerned. So just implement a monitoring tool, and also educate your children. When you hear that something happened within your family, you know, don't shame what happened, because it can happen to anybody, but use it as a learning tool. Like, hey, so-and-so just went through this, you know, or like so-and-so accidentally bumped into porn, and, you know, had they used a monitoring tool that might've not happened, you know, just use those as learning tools and keep it consistent. Don't talk to your kids about online safety only like when you get a phone. Do it repeatedly, maybe once a month. Keep it in their head fresh all the time so that they're aware, you know, that it's something that you need to continuously work on.
And I hear that you do give free consultations to the audience. Is that right?
I do. Yes,
so
I do.
Parents, yes. Dolly is an amazing resource. If you have a child that you're worried about and with bullying, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So anybody can book a call at dollytalks.com. You get a 30 minutes consultation, and then we'll work through, you know, how I can help you, because there's many ways. I have online courses that are led by me live. Then there are those that are already recorded and you do it self-paced. And then I also have just ongoing coaching. I also can even come to your school if you want me to come and educate the parents. And I always work with the parents, because I believe that Children need to hear this from you because you're the number one influencer in their lives. You might think it's their teachers because they spend most of the day there, but really it's the people that they love most, that they want to please, and that they want to like feel that they're living up to your standards because kids just tend to do that, right? So that's why I aim to help as many parents as possible. And so, yeah, just you can also get free content from me at from my Instagram at Dali Talks. That's my handle everywhere in social media. But DaliTalks.com is where you can book a free consultation.
And parents, it doesn't have to be cyberbullying. Dali does all kinds of bullying. So whether it's happening at school, in person, at any age level, she's an amazing resource. And I really hope that if your family is in that situation, that you reach out to her. And if you would like to become a more impactful parent, please check out all that my website has to offer. Also, I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources for you. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.